What a blessing, amen. Isn't it worthy to praise? Amen. Stand up to your feet for just a moment. Close your eyes, raise your hand, and just worship him for a moment. If we knew how to cue that thing, Danny, we'd cue it again. But I want you to worship him. He is worthy of our praise. He's been so good to all of us and blessed us, and I thank him for it. Lord Jesus, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to make real to your people the word of God. Lord, those who don't know Jesus, I pray, God, they'd come to know Christ today, have a brand new start. And God, I pray your people be helped and encouraged, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. Wonderful singing this morning. I appreciate so much Brother Joe Barry and singing, and Brother Danny and Brother Roland leading the singing, Miss Brenda playing this morning. You have your Bible open to Joel chapter number 3. And again, I want to say thank you again to all of our E-team and all that you've done in recent days. We've had funerals and we've had the Vacation Bible School, and these guys, they show up and they help and they put out the Word of God live over the internet and cue all the music for the singing at Vacation Bible School. And Matthew was a very, very important part of that. He did all of that in here in Vacation Bible School. And I appreciate that young man. You keep him in your prayers. The book of Joel, we're looking at the minor prophets in the Old Testament, minor in the fact that they're just small. Three chapters in this book, the book of Joel or Joel, and El means God. Anytime you see the El, it means God. It means this. It said the Lord is God, is his name. The Lord is God. The Lord always identifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They thought he blasphemed when he was on the earth because he claimed to be God. But he was God incarnate in human flesh. He was God, and he is God. Jesus Christ is God. He didn't become God. Some religious cults teach that he grew spiritually and he became a God, but he didn't. He's always been God, co-eternal, co-equal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. He's always been God. He was manifest in the flesh, the Bible said. God prepared a body for him. He was already the Son of God, but he prepared a body, and he lived in that body. The fullness of the Godhead, you know something blew your mind, this statement. It said the fullness of the Godhead was in that body. The fullness of the Godhead. That means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead was in that human body when he was on the earth. You say, I can't explain that. You can't explain God. He's infinite. Man, I got a little finite mind. I can't explain a yo-yo how that works. But you know, he's God. He's God, and Jesus Christ is God. And I read this book quite a few times here in the last month and a half, and the more I read it, the more it just begins to lay out. Joel has a burden. He's prophesying about 800 years before Christ came. He's the first of the writing prophets. And I didn't realize, I got to thinking about it, you get to look in dates and times. He was really contemporary somewhere right along about the same time of Jonah that we've studied about in Vacation Bible School all week long. And Jonah's burden, or God's burden on Jonah's heart, was to go preach to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian nation. They were enemies of Israel. And in less than 100 years from that time, they were going to come down and they were going to take captive all of the 10 northern tribes. They would kill the men. They would massacre the people. They were going to transplant them out of that country. And they were going to bring some other people into that country. But the Assyrians were the world dominant power. And they would destroy the 10 northern tribes. But Jonah didn't want to go preach to them. He didn't know all of that. And maybe God had given him a little bit of glimpse, but God used him. But now Joel is prophesying here in around Jerusalem about 800 years before Christ came. He's the first of the writing prophets. So he's also the first to use this phrase, the day of the Lord. There has been an awesome plague of locusts going across the land. Matter of fact, when I was reading back through here last night, yesterday, I was noticing what he said in this passage of Scripture. He's taking the daily events, the catastrophic events of the plague of the locust, and there's been a drought. But then he got to saying this. I read through here, it said in chapter 1 and verse 19, the Lord, O Lord, unto thee will I cry, for the fire have devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flames have burned all the trees of the field, and the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire have devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And I was listening to the news yesterday morning about the massive fires out west. You know, when we were in Yellowstone, I mean, it was just so foggy, you could hardly see the tops of the mountains with the smoke. But it said that there are, in 25 states out west, there are massive, uncontrollable fires right now. I mean, it's brilliant. And we don't hear a lot about that. We hear a lot about other things. But you may have a little clip here and a clip there. And did you know that this past week, there was an entire town that burned? I mean, but Joel, he's telling people, hey, look, pay attention. He said, the locusts are coming, they're devouring the crop. Look at these fires, these raging fires that are burning up everything around here. He said, I want to tell you something. That's just the beginning. He said, there's coming a day of the Lord. Therefore, repent now. That's what I have preached that message. But as you read through the book, he takes the current day events and he said, God is dealing with us now and he wants us to repent now. But there's coming a worse day down the road and it's called the day of the Lord. It's when he comes to judge this world. And the Gentile, this is the days of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles coming. But he's coming back, and then the day of Christ is when he comes to take his bride out, those of us who are saved. If you're here this morning, you're saved. If Jesus comes, the Bible said that he'll take us out of this world. And Matthew says, the Lord says, Matthew, want to be taken, want to be left. And so it is that if Jesus came now, every saved person in here, not everybody whose name's on Benson Grove Baptist Church roll or any guests who are here, members of other churches, not, your church membership won't make any difference that day. It's being born again or not being born again. Do you have Christ in your heart? And he knows the difference. He knows the difference. The Bible said he knows them that are his, those who've trusted Christ. And so if he came in the rapture today, he'd take out the saints of God and everybody else be left. But Joel is looking down through time. He doesn't see the rapture. He doesn't see the church. God didn't show him that because he's preaching to the nation of Israel. And he said, things are bad now, but they're going to get worse because there's going to be a time like never been before. And it says, if those in the New Testament, if those days are not shortened, there'd be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, that those will be shortened. It's going to be the most horrific time in all time. It's called the tribulation period. And it begins at the rapture of the church. And when does it begin? It could begin any minute. It could start in the next 30 minutes. It could start in the next 5 minutes. If the church has gone out, Antichrist will be revealed shortly thereafter. And then you go into the tribulation period. And it's going to be an awful time, awful time. Near the end of that time, there's going to be a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to gather together all the Gentile powers against little Israel. He's going to draw them with hooks in their jaws and bring them down. And he's going to judge them. And in the Valley of Jezreel, the blood will flow to the horse's bridle because God will judge those people. In that great time of catastrophe, Israel, for the very first time, with all of their heart, with all their soul, with genuineness, they're going to turn to the Lord. In the book of Zechariah said, and they'll look on him whom they pierced, and they'll mourn. There'll be a repentance in the nation of Israel there like we've never seen before, never heard it. There are people getting saved in out of Judaism and getting saved today, just like Gentiles are getting saved. But in that day, God's going to deal especially with the nation of Israel. And Joel sees every bit of it. Read through it. And it's laid out. He talks about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. He talks about that. He talks about the blessings of the Lord. And he goes right on into the kingdom blessing. And I want to read to you just a verse or two this morning from the book of Joel. And I'll be brief. And we got just about 10 minutes. And I promise you, I'm going to be through it. I know God appointed Brother Mitchell to be here in the wonderful singing because I'm going to tie it all together right here. In chapter 3, he talks about that great battle culmination of the end of the tribulation period. And he talks about how God's going to deal with them and he's going to judge the Gentile powers and so on. And then, and he said this, verse number 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. You see, when he comes back, the Bible says he's coming back on that mount and it's going to split. It's not going to go from north to south. It's going to go from east to west. And the water will flow over into a place called Acacia, and it's going to blossom and bloom, and Israel will bloom. Egypt's going to be desolate, but the water's going to flow across that way. But he says the Lord, he comes now to rest in the millennial reign of Christ, and he comes to be among his people. And notice what it said. He said, let me pick back up, utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be hope of his people, be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her gates. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and the water shall in the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be desolation, and Edom shall be desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Israel, because they have shed innocent blood of thee. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, and I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Now, here's the picture. It's him ruling and reigning. And this great chasm has been ripped, and the water flows through that valley. And it's going to be a time of blessing. Fruit's going to grow. It's going to be a land of flowing milk and honey. But in this case, he says this in verse number 17, they'll know that I'm the Lord, and that I dwell in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. Jerusalem, for all of these years, has been the center of the whole world. Not just the capital that our president some time ago recognized as the capital of Israel, but it's been the center of the world. Everything else goes out of there. And it's been trodden underfoot for all these years by the Gentiles. And I was reading, I think maybe J. Vernon McGee this week or something other, and he's talking about way back then, he'd gone to Jerusalem. He said, then, boy, they're there. He said, they went to tour Israel, and he said, the Gentiles were everywhere. He said, and when we were there back a couple of years ago, I mean, there were like 40 or 50 buses, every holy site we went to. I mean, the people were everywhere, and the Jews were there, but the majority of the people there were Gentiles, and they were walking all over the Holy Land. But he said, in that day, it's going to be holy. I mean, it's going to be holy. Right now, the Jews don't believe in the Lord as a people. They don't trust, they haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not even really good Jews. There are some Orthodox Jews. But he said, in that day, it's all going to change. But now, here's what I want you to see. Just a quick little phrase. Here's Joel. I want you to look back at one little passage of Scripture in this passage of Scripture. Notice back in chapter number 2, before I get to where I'm going, and he's talking about them repenting now. He wants them to repent now. Verse 13, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. This is now. He said, there's going to be the day of the Lord. There's going to be a tribulation period there, and there's going to be the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom reign of Christ. Everything's going to be great. But he said, now you need to repent right now. If you're going to be a part, you won't be living when it happens, but you'll still be alive, and you can be a part, because there's going to be that resurrection day. But notice what he says. Notice how he identifies the Lord in chapter 2, verse 13. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who know if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind, even the meat offering, the drink offering of the Lord your God. Now, I don't want to get into the theological discussion about God repenting. God has a plan, and he redirects what he's doing. But now, I am interested in what he said about him. This is him before Christ came, 800 years before Christ came. He said, God, Jehovah God, is gracious and merciful. Grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that now he says it's a gift of God. The God of this universe who can command all the forces of the world to come against Jerusalem, and he will annihilate them and then begin the millennial reign of Christ. That God is gracious. He's full of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Grace is this. It is grace receiving something you don't deserve. I was lost and on my way to hell. I didn't deserve anything but hell. I didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. I didn't deserve to go to heaven and live there for eternity. And grace made it possible. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, Holy Ghost conviction, and grace my fear relieved. It was grace that relieved that fear by me trusting Jesus Christ and giving me a peace of God. But he said, that God who is appointed times of judgment, if you repent individually, personally, you can miss that time of judgment. And then he said this, he's not only gracious, but he's merciful. Merciful is not receiving what we do deserve. I mean, God gives us some things we don't deserve. That's grace. But mercy means he gives us things that we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to go to heaven. But what we do deserve is judgment. We've blasphemed his name. We've lived a life that dishonored him. We've not yielded ourselves to him. We've not read his Bible. We've not been faithful. We've not done those things. But his mercy, he could incinerate us. He could just let the hammer fall on us. He could have cast us into hell years ago. But it was his mercy, mercy, not receiving what we do deserve. And then he goes on and says this, not only is that, but he's slow to anger. And he is of great kindness. And there's another passage of scripture that uses this word. He is long-suffering. He's put up with us a long time. That doesn't mean he's not going to judge sin. And don't take that to mean you got away with it. But it means he's given you time to repent, giving you a space to get right with him. But now come to to chapter number 3. He's looking down through time, and Israel will come to realize this. Verse number 16, two little phrases, and I'll share a quick word, we'll be through. And he said this, he shall utter his voice in Jerusalem, and the heavens, the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. He said, there's coming a day that Israel will recognize him as that. He is that now. He is hope and he is strength now. But there's coming a time when they will embrace that. When they will know. It's a difference between believing and receiving. It's a difference between saying something and accepting something. You can say, I believe the Bible. I believe that Jesus is virgin born. I believe that he's the Christ. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was buried. I believe he was rose again. That won't save you. Because the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. But when you begin to understand that he is my salvation, he was my Savior, he died for me, and you personally accept that and receive that as a personal thing. And Israel in that day will understand he is their hope and their strength. Number one, that hope is based on his promises. He's my hope because of his promise. Now, the word hope in my vocabulary, and I've tried to say it to you, explain it to you this, when he talks about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, that's not hope with a question mark. That's hope with an exclamation point. When the word hope is used in regard to God, it doesn't mean a hope so salvation. It means a no-so salvation that I've not yet realized. It's a healing I hadn't yet received. It's a new body I hadn't received. The resurrection, having a body like unto him. It's a heaven that I've never walked on streets of gold in, but I know it's there. And I have that hope because of his promises. We trust in him. I was thinking in that wonderful song that Joe Berry sang a while ago, he can. I've been doing something here of late. I've been thanking God for healing. When I needed healing, instead of asking God to heal me, I've been thanking him for healing. Still got situations, but I'm still just thanking him. Because you know what I know? I know it's coming. I know he's going to heal. I know he's going to do this. And you say, Brother Billy, I know people who are Christians just as much and love God and everything else, and they died of COVID, that's that and the other. No, well, let me tell you something. I know what happened. I know their heart quit beating. I know that we say that. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You believe that? You believe that a person who's a Christian never dies? Oh, the body might quit functioning, the heart might quit beating, the lungs may quit working, But he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen, the last breath they take down here is the first breath they take in his presence for all eternity. They won't know, you know they died. The devil knows they died. But my dear friend, they don't know they died. All they know is one moment they were here in a body racked with pain and sickness. The next moment they were perfectly whole and healed, walking in his presence, rejoicing. It was just like the blink of your eye. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just that quick, you pass from death to life, from sickness to wellness for all eternity, from sorrow and sadness to eternal bliss and joy, just that quick. And he said, in that day, Israel will become God will become the hope of Israel. They'll know then all of his promises are true and rejoice in it because of his, you know what? He gives you the promise of salvation. And if you believe that promise of salvation, everything he says is yea and amen. God cannot lie. But he said, if you'll call on me, I'll save you. That's a promise. And when you embrace that and it comes that, it's real to you. One last thing, and I'm through. The strength. The hope has to do with this promises. It's not me, it's not my ability, but it is him. He's promised me that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's promised he'd meet all my needs. I embrace that. I may not have what I think I need now, but he gives me all I need. I may not have the healing now, but he's promised to heal me. He's promised to do those things. And I accept that by faith. But now watch. My faith is weak. Your faith is weak. And so he said, not only is he the hope of Israel, of his people, he's not only the hope, that is, they trust in him to keep his word. It's real to them. It's real to them. Just as sure as it's there. It's going to be a long time before it comes to reality to them, but it's real. And then he said, he's the strength. That strength is his power. It is his ability for you to accept his promises and live by them. It gives you that power. Let me give it to you this way. There's a guy in the Bible who the Lord said, your daughter's going to live. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He's asking for God's power to empower him to believe the promise of God. And he said, God is my strength. God is the power for me to accept his promises and to live by them in spite of my current circumstance. I believe God's going to bless. I believe God's going to do this. I believe God's giving me a new body, all those things. And if I am in that place where I believe his promises, his strength now enables me to live in that promise regardless of what's going on in my circumstance. I may be weak in the body, but I believe I'm going to have a new body and I live in that blessed hope. In spite of my circumstances, I believe it in spite of the passage of time. He said he'd give me everlasting life. I got saved a long time ago as a young boy, and God's called me to preach. I've been preaching. I want to live as long as he let me live. I want to preach as long as he let me live. But he made me promises years ago that I have embraced and accepted of a resurrection and a place called heaven to live for all eternity. And it's been a good while since then. My birthday, I'm going to be 75 years old. But you know, in spite of the passage of time, those things are just as real to me as the day you spoke to in my heart in the Word of God. And that's not because I've determined to believe it or I've tried to believe it. It's because of his power. God working in us gives us the power to believe him in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the passage of time, in spite of the assault of the enemy. I mean, the devil comes against you, just like Mitchell said a while ago, the old devil jumped up and said, you're spending too much money, da, 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 da. And he'll war against our mind, against our flesh. But it's that power of the Holy Spirit of God that helps us believe the promise of God, that God can meet the need. Now, I know when he told that story about thrift stores, I love thrift stores and junk stores. And it's going to be crowded. All y'all going to be in there trying to buy every book you can find. I kept a clipping in my Bible for a long time. It's in my other Bible now. And it said, old woman finds great treasure in old book. And she'd gone in a flea market somewhere around England, somewhere over there, and she paid just a few pennies, basically, for a book. And when she got home, got thumbing through it, it had some papers folded, and she got to unfold them, and it was drawings, like charcoal drawings. And they were really good. And she kept them for some time. And then finally, somebody said, you ought to get somebody to look at those. They might be important. And when they did, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody like Rembrandt or somebody. And those papers folded up in there were like worth millions of dollars. And she paid just a matter of pennies for it. And she found a great treasure in an old book. Well, here's the old book. You can find treasure in that one every day. Amen. It's in there for you. You get in there. But listen, His promises are my hope, but His strength is His power to accept that and live in that in spite of my circumstances, in spite of the passage of time, in spite of the assault of the enemy, and in spite of my personal failures. You're living in a body of flesh, and all of us have failed the Lord. All of us have a tendency to get cold and not to get hot, but His promises are still true, and He remains faithful all the time. And I'm glad He's faithful to chasten us and to bring us to a place of repentance and revival and cleansing. But He is my hope that has to do with His promises. And He's my power, He's my strength that has to do with His power to help me to live in the reality of those promises, though I've not yet received them, and to give Him praise well in advance of what He's doing for us. I remember when Regina and Miss Trudy were doing the latest meeting and Kyla Rowland came, there was a certain song, and I can't remember, Regina would have remembered, but it's a certain song she wrote about her son, One Scarred Hand, I believe it is. But it's an awesome song, it's a great song. And she wrote it about her son and about his going away and then coming back and God taking care of him. And a lady mentioned to us, said, Miss Kyla, I want you to sing that song you wrote about your son when he came back. And she said, no, honey, I didn't write it when he came back. I wrote it when he left because I knew God would bring him back. That's the promise. That's the hope. And the strength is to believe it, though you hadn't seen it yet. I'm telling you right now, God will save you today if you believe His promise. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God has spoke to your heart through the singing. He has mine, the special music. Both songs were just special, the congregational singing, the testimony by good friend Brother Mitchell this morning, and the Word of God. Boy, He sure has orchestrated a lot of things to tend to your heart this morning, to get you to look at Him. Sometimes we have a tendency as believers to get discouraged and defeated and even complain about our lot in life. But His promises are true. He is our hope. Regardless of our circumstance, regardless of the passage of time, regardless of the assault of the enemy, regardless of my personal failures, I still have that hope because it's Him I'm looking to. They shall know that I am the Lord in their midst. They've come to realize one day that His promises were real and that His power was real and that His person is awesome. He is the Lord. Can I say to you this morning, dear friend in the building that may not know Christ, you battled and struggled and fought against everything you could ever imagine. You want to do right and you don't seem to be able to do it. Sometime we need to just come to the end of ourselves and realize the Lord is my hope. The Lord is my strength. I'm going to trust His promise. Lord, You said that You loved me and You died for me. And if I'd come to You, You in no wise cast me out. And that if I'd call on You to save me. I'm praying, God, Holy Ghost, let You believe that this morning. For the very first time in your life, you'd be willing to give your heart to Him and trust His promise and His power, not yours. I pray He'll speak to your heart. And for those of us who are believers, I pray that we'll see His promises as already finished. Oh, it may be a while. It may be, as in Joel's situation, hundreds and even a few thousand years before it comes to reality. But he realized it and he understood that it was going to happen. And I believe it. Will you believe Him this morning? Believer, will you trust Him? Take His promises. Live victorious. I love that testimony of that lady beautician who was happy all the time since she got saved and hadn't got over it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and if you believe His promises, you'll have real joy. And you look at the headlines, look around you, and understand what circumstance is, you'll get defeated, depressed. But if you know Him and love Him and believe His promise, you're going to rejoice in Him. Believe God's on the throne. I, Heavenly Father, I pray now you do what I cannot do. I pray, God, that you convict and draw by your grace and save for Jesus' sake. I pray, God, that you'd encourage the believers. Lord, I believe that singing Brother Mitchell's testimony and maybe the Word of God this morning has been a help and encouragement to God's people to believe your promises and trust your power, our Father, that we would walk in those promises in spite of everything going around us. We're going to keep believing you, believing your Word, believing your promises. And God, I pray, God, you'd meet their needs. Help them to come around the altar. Christians, Lord, always lead the way as they come and get around the altar. And I pray, God, somebody would step out this morning and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, while we're praying, my dear friend, let me ask you to do this. Will you stand together? The music's playing. Brother Roland's going to sing a verse or two of a song. I encourage God's people to come. Maybe you just got a little bit down, a little bit defeated. But he said in that day, Israel is going to look at everything completely different, that God is going to be their hope. And He'll be their strength. They're accepted. And it's true now, but we just don't accept it all the time. And I want you to ask God to help you live in His promises with victory because of His power. And for those who don't know Christ, this is all new to you, maybe a visitor or guest. But I want to tell you right now, this is real. And if you'll step out and trust Jesus Christ this morning and call on Him, He'll save you. There's some ladies who'd pray with the ladies, men who'll pray with the men. And I invite you to come now. Lord, help them to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. Bless in Jesus' name.